If you have a copy that's got the Word, turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. And these are the epistles, Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul wrote to instruct young ministers how to take care of the house of God. And he says in verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And that word sound there means wholesome, healthy doctrine. Because there are some things that are not wholesome, they're not sound. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, as we bow in thy presence, we thank you for this opportunity to meet again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to worship you in spirit and in truth, and pray that you'll bless us. We thank you for the song service of singing hymns unto thee, and we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Be with us this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Sound doctrine. You ever hear this? Oh, I don't want to hear doctrine. I don't like doctrine. I want to just teach me about Jesus, but not doctrine. You know, there is no such thing as learning anything that's not doctrine. What can you teach that's not doctrine? How about the resurrection? That's doctrine. How about the deity of Jesus Christ? That's doctrine. How about prayer? That's doctrine. It's teaching. How about fasting? That's doctrine. Living the Christian life by the Holy Spirit? That's doctrine. So when people make this excuse, "Oh, I don't want to hear doctrine. We preach too much doctrine." What they're saying, they don't want wholesome truth. They don't want the truth, because truth is what sets us free, Brother Dave. Truth sets us free. And Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." We are living in an age of deception. Everything is deceptive. People speak one thing, but they do another. They hide behind their words, and they do wickedness. But Paul says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." If you don't know doctrine, you haven't learned anything, and you can't continue in the grace of God if you don't know about the grace of God, brother. "And has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them." The purpose of Brother Dave and Brother Roger and myself and other ministers is that we might teach you wholesome doctrine. We may teach you things that will keep you pure in your heart. You know, the Bible says that pure in heart shall see God, have the evidence of God, have the joy of God in their life. As we were speaking earlier, you know, when Christianity started out in the beginning, Christianity invaded all the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of darkness, and took the glorious gospel of Christ into all these kingdoms, which were all the wickedness and ungodliness, and many, many savage nations were Christianized, and they were worshipers of Jesus Christ, like the work going on in India. But you know, now in our century, what's happening? The gods of the East have invaded the West. They are bringing their doctrine and their gods to America. They're building their temples of worship. They're bringing their false gods over here. Now Satan is invading this country with the gods of the East to corrupt and bring people's minds off what? The true and living God. Now this is how serious this is. Now, I do believe in freedom of choice in our country. Even for the Muslims, they have the right to go and worship in their temple. But when our government starts bringing these false gods into the government, which they would not allow Christians to do, now all of a sudden, see, the vantage is going that way. They're getting all the rights. Christians are being punished. Christians cannot pray, but a Muslim can in Congress. They can get in the middle of the street and block the traffic and pray at a certain time. But Christians do that, they'd all be locked up. So, beloved, we need to learn wholesome doctrine. But we are not of this world. And we must remember that. We are pilgrims and strangers. We're just passing through. But the thing we need to take notice of is how Satan is bringing these false gods to America, and how fast they're growing in this country. So we need to continue thou in the Word of God. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. We should be evangelizing and spreading the gospel. Church today has failed in that area to evangelize and to preach the gospel as we should. Make full proof of thy ministry. He told Timothy in 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Wholesome doctrine. In 1 Thessalonians, notice in chapter 1, verse 6, he says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. So you see that we've received the word of God in much afflictions and in joy of the Holy Ghost. He says in Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. If you're taught, you should teach others. You say, I'm not a preacher. No, but you can teach others, your friends, your schoolmates. You can testify of God's goodness to you, of God's grace to you. What did Jesus tell one of the people that he healed? Go and tell thy friends and neighbors and family what the Lord has done for you. All of us can do that. We can testify of the grace of God. Too many times, and I'm guilty myself, we get around our loved ones and we know they need to hear about Christ, but what do? We don't want to irritate them. We don't want to offend them. Where are you going to offend them to? But we have to do it tactfully. You have to do it prayerfully because you can drive people the other way too if you're not careful how you present the gospel to people. But you don't have to talk to them directly. We can just give glory to God and thank God for His goodness and protection, and what the Lord is doing for you, how you enjoy the things of God. Yes, it may drive some people from you. The gospel separates. It will separate. It's always separated. It separates families. Separates husband and wives. It separates children from their parents sometimes. Jesus said in the last days the children shall go against the parents and the husband against the wife against the husband, and these things you see happening all the time. So we need to be much in prayer. And one of the verses given to the ministers, basically, this can apply to everyone as far as being a student of the word, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What a responsibility, Brother Roger, Brother Dave, and myself have. We are to rightly divide the word of truth. And Jude made this statement in Jude chapter 1, verse 3. He says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was delivered unto the saints. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand sometimes. We are very strong in what we believe as Primitive Baptists. We don't preach what we preach to offend or dishonor anyone. But we are to preach what the apostles preached. The apostles' doctrine. The doctrine that Jesus taught. And the doctrines that's recorded in the Word of God. We are to be faithful to God's Word. It's not a reflection against anyone. You know, the Bible says to compare Scripture with Scripture. And as you compare Scripture with Scripture, you cleave to that which is good, reject that which is bad. So if you hear the truth, and if it's the truth, whether you can comprehend it or not, you should accept it and not fight against it. So many people don't like the fact that God chose people before the foundation of the world, the doctrine of election. Now, we don't teach it to offend anyone. We teach it because it's God's Word. It's God's Word. Same thing with His redemption. He died to save His people. And people get offended because we preach that He died only for His elect. He died for those whom He loved. And some people get offended because of that. Beloved, it's taught in the Word of God. Jesus says, I die for the sheep. I die for my lambs. I lay down my life for them. And He says, other sheep I have, which I must bring them, which is talking about the Gentiles. We don't preach that to dishonor anyone or to hurt anyone, but we must preach the truth as it is in Jesus. The apostles taught it. Jesus taught it. We must preach the same thing. Yes, this will cause people sometimes to leave the church. Yes, sometimes people won't join the church because they cannot comprehend or they will not accept the truth that Jesus has a chosen people. But, beloved, it's truth whether people want to accept it or not. And remember that Paul taught in the last days they should become seducing spirits, teaching doctrines of devils. What are being taught today? You know, I just noticed in that one hymn we sung, which is a beautiful song to a certain degree, but one phase of that song was incorrect. It says, "I'll wash my sins away in the blood of the Lamb." No, we don't wash our sins away. We don't do it. God does it. When He died on the cross, He washed our sins away. But see, there's people today who believe that your sins are not washed away until you do something. That you are the one that makes the decision whether your sins are washed away. I mean, it's just a small little thing I noticed that when we were singing it. Jesus washed our sins away at Calvary. They're gone. As far as the east is from the west. Now, there is a manifestation of forgiveness, a manifestation of cleansing given to us in the act of conversion when we believe and put our faith and trust in Christ. God gives us evidence of that. But that's not the cause of the blood being. The cause of us believing is because the blood was shed. See, people get everything backwards today. Everything is backwards. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure," 2 Timothy 4:3, "sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." We are living in one of the ages where people want to be entertained in the church. They want music. They want entertainment. They want stories. They want this for the children and this for the children. They want milk and cookies for the kids. Everything is to entertain and impress. What happened to the old story of the gospel? Has it lost its power? No, it hasn't. People want mega churches. They want to be so big today, they're willing to do anything and say anything to draw big crowds into their congregation. One of the famous so-called preachers today, if I mention his name, you'd know who he is. He never preaches against sin. Oh, God wants to bless you today, whether you're Christian or not a Christian. Oh, the Lord has this for you. God has already provided for you. See, the world cannot distinguish between God's people, saved people, and lost people. They think that everything is for everybody. God's Word does not teach that. The promises of God are for His people and His people only. And He's referring to believers. If you are a believer, you have a right to claim the promises of God. Unbelievers going around claiming the promises of God have no right to those in inheritance. That's part of our inheritance as people of God. But you go on Facebook or some of these other places and you'll see everybody talking like they're Christians. Everybody's a child of God. Doesn't matter how you live, what you do, who you are. Oh, they've gone to heaven. Are they? See, this is sad commentary in the age in which we're living. Everybody is going to heaven according to the world theology. You read the Word of God and you don't get that picture. Not everyone's going to heaven. Unbelievers, and it says unbelievers, shall be in the lake of fire. Read the book of Revelation. Unbelievers are under the condemnation of God right now. They're already condemned, already, God says. So not everyone's going to heaven, beloved. That's not wholesome doctrine. That's unsound doctrine to teach that. Yes, we should be sympathetic to those around us. We should have the evangelistic spirit. We should share it is our responsibility to share the good news. But only those whom the Holy Spirit will regenerate can receive that truth and give glory to God. And even in Jesus' time, when He was the great preacher, the greatest teacher that ever taught, He was the Son of God in flesh teaching. Not everyone even received His teaching. He says, you are of your father, the devil. That didn't sound like he believed everybody was going to heaven or everyone was children of God. There's the passing of the seed, and then the wheat and the tares came up. Well, the wheat and tares, they were symbolic of evil, not of God's children. Oh, beloved, it's so easy to become deceived today if we're not careful. Paul says in Titus 1:16, this is Paul's warning, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Now, we can profess that we know God, but if we never show forth any fruit in our lives, our profession is empty. Empty. Unsound doctrine is a doctrine without an inward change of heart. In other words, true, Jesus says you should know the truth and truth to set you free. True doctrine will set you free inside. Paul says in Romans 6:17, but God be thankful that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. Not notice that from the heart, from that created, that new heart that God gives us in regeneration, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Grace will make a change in your life. If it doesn't, you know nothing of the grace of God, only in your head. We've got a lot of head religion today. And grace doesn't lead us to sin. Paul says in Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word, as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine or wholesome doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Notice what it says here. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, what does grace teach you and I? To deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, the world don't want to hear that. They want to live in sin, do what they want, when they want, how they want, and they think, well, I can just do all of this, and one day I'm going to wake up in heaven. You're deceived if you believe that. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. People say, well, I'll live like that when I get in heaven, but right now I'm not going to live like that. A tree is known by its fruit. He says in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we don't preach these things to criticize people, but you need to know the truth. You need to realize the truth, how important it is. Sound doctrine will produce good works in your life. To give you a couple verses, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Some people act like good works is awful. Oh, good works, yes, we do have good works created in us by the Holy Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. If we don't have love, we don't have anything. One of the greatest commandments Jesus taught his apostles was to love one another. If we can't love one another, we're very, very low in our Christian life. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. These are the things that show that we are children of God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Beloved, there's many, many verses that I could go through here that teach good works. Good works is to glorify the Father. We're to honor one another. We're to prefer one another before ourselves. We're to pray one for another. I was thinking as I was praying about what you preached this morning, great need of prayer in our life. One of the greatest needs in the Christian church and in our own personal lives is prayer. You have not because you ask not. Asked, said the Master. Seek, said the Master. Knock, said the Master, and it shall be given unto you. We need to be praying. One of the great gifts to child of God is evidence is about Paul. What did they say about Paul after his conversion? Behold, he prayeth. He had a heart. He was crying out, "My Father." You should have that prayer in your own heart. I should have that. And what makes prayer a reality? Faith. Faith. And how does faith work? Paul says in Galatians, I think it's 5:7, faith worketh by love. And how do we have faith? And how do we prayer? What's that based upon? The promises of God. Promises of God. Now remember, the promises of God is not to everyone. It's for God's people, God's children, believers in Jesus Christ. As they claim the promises of God, they become a reality. The prayers we send up to God based upon God's Word, the confidence that we have that we can ask anything of Him, if we ask according to His will, that God says He heareth us. Now, how many times do we pray according to our will, our selfishness? And we're all guilty to a certain degree at times. We should pray for everything that we pray for should be based upon the promises of God. One of the promises of God's Word is, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest. We can pray that prayer. We're praying it upon God's authority. We should be praying that here in Mount Zion. Although we have three ministers, we should be praying that God will send forth more ministers into the harvest, because the harvest is white, ready for the reaping. Oh, beloved. And as we think about prayer, as we think about faith, and as we think about the promises, shows us the need of the Holy Spirit in our life to inspire us to believe the Word, to trust God's promises, to seek God in prayer, and to go to God. And the Holy Spirit makes these things a reality in our life. You can't do it on your own. You know, sometimes we jump on people like they can save themselves. They can't save themselves. No one can save yourself. Now, we can encourage people to read God's Word. A lost person can read the Word of God and profit from it, because they can read the principles that honors God, and they can obey those principles, and they can honor God in their Christian walk. Children are to be taught the Word of God, that they can learn the morals of God's Word and live according to those words. But God has to be the one who saves them and regenerates them, gives them a heart to believe those things. Until God moves on the heart of an individual, that individual will never totally follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We can preach it until we turn blue in the face. We can holler, we can scream, we can... But we know unless the Holy Spirit works within the heart, they will never move, because they have a heart of stone. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have eyes, but they cannot see the spiritual beauty of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord. When you see Him, when you're born again, and you see the beauty of Christ on Calvary, you see Him there dying for your sins, and your heart is broken, because you know in your heart He died for your sins, and your iniquities was laid upon Him. Oh, then you see the beauty of Christ. He becomes precious to you. His blood becomes precious. The doctrine becomes a reality. See, that's what I'm saying. Doctrine alone will not set you free. But when that doctrine is brought to your soul and you feel it in your soul and the Holy Spirit opens up your heart and you realize your sins are washed away by His redeeming blood, you were saved by His salvation. Oh, beloved, then these truths become precious in your soul and in your heart. What happens to you and I at times? We become cold in these areas. One preacher preached the message, wintertime. We all go through winter times in our Christian life where we seem to get cold. We don't want to go to church. We lose desire for the Word of God. We don't pray. We get away from fellowship with Christians. We seem to go through a cold time in our life. But go through God's mercy, if we'll be faithful, as He says over there in Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as a matter of some is, some sermon preached by either Roger or Brother Dave or myself or someone else may speak to your heart and rekindle that faith, which is very low. It's getting very dim, but be rekindled and set the flame on fire again, and you'll be revived in your soul. And then springtime comes back in your heart. And so with the glory of God, you see Christ in His glory again. in your life and in your heart. All we need the breath of God to breathe upon us, Brother Dave, Brother Roger. We need His presence. We need the Holy Spirit to make these things precious to us again. Oh, to you which believe that He is precious. And in closing, I want to bring out a few things that we need to remind ourselves of these things. Our daily need today to desire the Word of God. To desire the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies, all evil speaking," verse 2, "as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." Beloved, whether you're a minister, whether you're a person in the pew, if you don't read God's Word, you will not grow as a Christian. You can read philosophy. You can study science. You can read many things. God says if you study His Word, desire His Word, you will grow as a Christian. That's one reason a lot of Christians are not growing as they should. They're not taking the time to study and to read and meditate upon the Word of God. You should have a time set apart in your life as a Christian, as a believer, to read the Word of God and meditate upon it. I'm not saying how much you should read. It doesn't matter whether you read one chapter a day, one verse a day, or 10 chapters a day. It's just that you read it until you feed your soul and the Spirit blesses you, makes the Word real to you. That's when it becomes a reality. As I read, as I quoted earlier, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Why is that so important? When we as God's people forsake the house of God, we become like Thomas. What did happen to Thomas? He doubted. He doubted. I won't believe unless I see. See, when you get away from hearing the gospel, you get away from hearing the Word, you get away from being rebuked. We all need to be rebuked. When I preach to you, it comes right back to me. We need it. I need to be told what I'm doing wrong. And the purpose of reading the Word of God is for that purpose. God the Spirit will rebuke us and convict us of things in our lives which are contrary to His Word. That's one of the things God uses His Word for, is to cleanse us from sin, to show us things in our lives that are displeasing to Him. Next, we look at be rooted and build up in Him. Colossians 2:7 says, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith." And without wholesome doctrine, you can never be established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Always don't forget thanksgiving. How long has it been since you've knelt down and gave God thanks for what you have? Your home, your vehicles that we drive, your health, your children. There's so many things that we can give God thanks for. Our jobs, if you have a job. God's provision, meeting your daily needs financially. We need to take more time, be like that leper. Remember those 10 lepers cleansed, but only one came back to the Lord and gave Him thanks. Too many times we are like the other nine. We don't take the time to give God thanks. We need to slow down in our life. We are living in a very busy age, to and fro. And remember, who goes to and fro? Satan does, and the earth. Let us be rooted on the rock. Build that house upon the rock. Jesus says, "I am the rock." Jesus is the rock. And if you build your house on any other foundation, when the winds of life blow, when the trials of tribulation come, you're going to fall. But those who have got their faith and trust in Christ, when trials of life come our way, we'll still stand because we're standing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We might tremble and we might feel the winds at times in our lives, but we will not fall because we're standing on Christ. We should live upon Christ daily. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." He said in John 14:19, yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. We need to daily be living upon Christ. Now you say, how can I do that? Okay, you sin daily, right? You go to Christ as your high priest in prayer, ask him to cleanse you from that sin, forgive you for your wickedness, and that way you're living upon Christ in his blood. You're experiencing and you're fellowshipping in his blood. We need strength. You say, oh, I'm so weak, Brother Rhodes, you just don't understand. I just don't have the strength to live the Christian life. Christ knew that. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who's infusing strength into me. Like I mentioned many times about a car battery, one battery is dead. You take another battery, you hook them up, and that one battery is putting power into the other battery to recharge it. We need that charging in our lives. We go to Jesus Christ, Lord, I am so weak, my strength is almost gone. Recharge me, Lord. Give me that strength I need to be faithful to you, faithful to the Word, faithful to the prayer, faithful to my family, faithful to the church of God, and most of all, faithful to the true and living God. We need His strength to glorify Him. We all need it. We need to pray daily, all of us. He says, night and day praying exceedingly, 1 Thessalonians 3:10, that we might see your face and not perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Give us this day our daily bread, the Lord says. And James, I always remember what James says when we make plans to do this and do that and do this. He says, for you ought to say, James 4:15, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That young man at 38 years old had two lovely sons, a beautiful wife. He lay down that night, but he never woke the next morning. We don't know when we lay down whether we're going to wake up the next morning or not. You say, well, I'm only 20 years old. I'm only 30 years old. Doesn't mean anything. He was 38 years old. And he died in his sleep. Gone. That's why we need to pray daily. We need to exhort one another daily. Paul says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Beloved, sin hardens the heart. Yes, you can go and sin. I can go and sin. But remember, there's the consequences. It hardens our heart. So the next time we sin, it's a little easier. The next time we sin, it's a little easier. The next thing you know, because sin is becoming so easy, we lose the desire to go to the house of God. We lose the desire to pray. We lose the desire to talk about the things of God. What's going on? Sin has gradually hardened the heart. And people are becoming lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's a dangerous state to get in. That's why we need to exhort one another daily. So when we preach things, sometimes it may seem, make you feel a little uncomfortable. It's because we love you. And because it's God's ministers, we want to be faithful to you. I don't want to get up here and sugarcoat the gospel and tell you that you're okay, go out and live in sin, do anything you want, doesn't make any difference. No, God doesn't teach that. He teaches us to be a holy people, to separate ourselves from the world, to follow Jesus Christ, to honor God. That's why we're to exhort one another daily. And we exhort each other to take up our cross and follow Him. As He says in Luke 9:23, and He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And beloved, that's not easy to do. I can say that from my own experience. To deny yourself what you want, what you desire. And Satan will put the most beautiful thing in front of you to desire. Oh, I gotta have that. I gotta have that. But if it's not of God, you must deny yourself. And this is where the test comes in. God permits Satan to put things in our path that test our love and allegiance to Him. And we all, none of us are exempt from that. None of us. Preachers have it. Each one of you have it. That's why we're to pray one for another. I understand what these young people go through. I was a young person at one time. We're all you go through those stages in your life where it's difficult. But Jesus Christ is worth everything. You're not doing it just for yourself. You're doing it because you love the Master. If I reject sin, it's not so much for me. It's because I love the Lord. I don't want to dishonor the Lord. If we do it just for us, that's selfishness. But if we do it for the honor and glory of God, then we're doing it for the right purpose. Search the Scriptures daily. We need to read the Scriptures daily. And we should live every day looking for the coming of the Lord. See, this keeps us alert spiritually. 2 Peter 3:10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Looking for that blessed, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And last of all, Paul says in Ephesians 6, he says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Now, I want to say this to our young people here, and to all, anyone who are in a state of being single in your life. Remember, the Lord says the body, I'm talking to believers now, those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, the body is not for fornication, but it's for the Lord. And the Bible teaches that if a man wants, it cannot contain himself, it's better to marry than to burn. My suggestion to all the young people that are here, if you have someone in your life that you love, I suggest you marry that individual to prevent the sin of fornication. I'm just being plain this morning. Because you need a mate. If you found that mate, quit beating around the bush, marry that young lady or marry that young man. This is serious. As to protect yourself as a Christian, as a male believer and a young woman, you need to marry one another, raise a family, and serve God in a church. And this is God's plan for your life. It's time that our young people, and I'm talking to some here, we need to face reality. What is your purpose in life? Honor God. The end of time is approaching us so rapidly and so fast. Beloved, sometimes I fear it could happen at any moment. So I encourage our young people here, think seriously about your marriage obligations. Think about it. Pray about it. Say, "Lord, if this is the one for me, this is it. I'm going to tie the knot." Because God says that whores and whoremongers God will judge, but the marriage bed is undefiled to those who are married in the Lord. I say that to help you young people to make a decision in your life that you realize as long as you stay single, there's always that danger. That danger. It's hard. We're living in an age which is difficult. People don't look at things the way we as Christians look at. They don't look as adultery or fornication as sinful. Oh, that's just we're human nature. What does God say? It's better to marry than to burn. So if a young man or young woman has trouble in that area, my advice to you is, as Paul says in the Word of God in his book, it's better for you to marry than to burn. And this is our young people, because our young people are living in one of the most wicked, ungodliest times it's ever been. My heart goes out to you. Now, I only say these things, again, because we love you. And I want you to be happy in the Lord. And there's only one way to be happy in the Lord is to serve God. And families that are here today, if you're not putting God first in your home and serving God as a husband and wife, you are missing the mark of your calling. We are to put God first in our homes. And when we do that, maybe our children will see more desire to do the same thing if we put God first in our life. We are to set the example. I'm to set the example. Roger set the example. Brother David to set the example. And see, that's wholesome doctrine. When you can see my doctrine in my life, then that's wholesome doctrine. But if you only see words, I can say, "I love you," but if I never show it, what does it mean? It means nothing. Truth must be shown to become a reality. May we pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, as we bow in Thy presence, Father, I pray that You will bless all that's here with Thy Word. May we all grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. My heart especially goes out to our young people who are living in such a wicked and ungodly generation with so much atheism, ungodliness, being taught everywhere, all over the TVs, all over the radios, all the newspapers, everything is just filthy, ungodliness. Iniquity is abounding everywhere, and so many are, the love of many are growing cold. Oh, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would deal with all that are here this morning. Convict, rebuke, exhort, stir their hearts to see the need to serve the true and living God. Thank You, Father, for this time that we can bow before You. We give You all the praise and the glory. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?